You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
All Skins, I'm going to say everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Ray and Wally in the building, Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM. And 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Will T is running late. He's out t-shirt shopping. He's looking for some bigger tees.
I hate you.
I think it's just something going on with him these days that causes his t-shirts not to fit right. Maybe he's washing it with too much soap or something. But he'll be here shortly. Hopefully the t-shirt will be fitting out. I told you.
You didn't tell me.
Will T need bigger t-shirts. I'm sorry.
It is early day mistake.
Can I borrow your t-shirt, son? He's like, go ahead, Pops, you got it.
I can't do. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher.
Don't pull your shirt down even when you stand up, boy.
And Google Play. Search All Skins Everything.
I got to mess with him when he's not here. He'll
also,
be here
tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. I hate you so much on that one. Will T's not here and he's late with his tight ass shirt. Let's get into our tradition, the free game. Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Dallas Cowboys 31-21. We'll preview the Skins Bears Monday Night Football game. Finally, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network will join us to discuss whether Jay Gruden and Greg Minuski are on the hot seat. But first, the Washington Redskins fell to the Dallas Cowboys 31-21. Your game thoughts?
Well, it was you who put it so eloquently last week that the Cowboys arguably have the best offensive line of football, and you need to game plan for them. Now, this is me sort of thinking out loud, as well as kind of asking a question to the group, except for Will T. So, if you know you're facing the best offensive line of football, you know you're...
Minus Jonathan Allen.
Right, but still, you're still facing the... Arguably getting the best.
You know what I mean? I'm seeing your point.
I missed the name. I'm sorry, sir. You know that you're going to have to potentially game plan. You're going to have to be creative in dialing up blitzes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that way you can get pressure because you're not going to beat them one-on-one the majority of the time.
Not at all.
Ionitis struggle because, again, they're just good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what game I was watching, but if you were watching the same game I was, did it look like Minuski game plan?
Vanilla.
What was that?
It's vanilla. Like, I'm going to keep saying this, is that, you know, I'm gonna go to a game. I was watching Sunday night. I was watching the Eagles Atlanta game.
You saw the blitz the Eagles were doing. Exactly.
Eagles switched up. They switched up. They were
corner
like, you know
blitzes,
what?
Safety blitzes.
Everything.
Right.
Like that. That's a defensive coordinator.
We're thinking along the same
line. I was like, that's a defensive coordinator. If it's not going your way, you switch up.
Exactly.
The Skins talk about trying to force turnovers, right? Matt Ryan was in a rhythm. He was in a groove. Schwartz was like, F that.
Threw it off his back foot.
F down, blitzing him. Blitzing him, threw off his back foot, threw interception. In the red zone, blitzed up the gut. It messed his pass. He got there. He had to adjust his pass. It was picked off.
Yeah.
So there was so many, like, watching that game, I was like, that's a defensive coordinator. Now you fast forward to Greg Minuski. Like, watching this Dallas game, you're not getting pressure with your front four. Why not bring pressure? Why not change the scene with Dak? Because how did they get that interception with Monte? They got pressure with Kerrigan. Was it Kerrigan who tackled? No, was it? They got pressure on Dak. He threw off his back foot. He threw behind the receiver, and Monte Nicholson had the interception. That was because of pressure. So my thought process is, okay, if we're not creating pressure – right? If we're not creating pressure, we're messing up. So if we're not getting it with our front four, we're messing up. We got to bring blitzes so we can kind of try to create turnovers.
And see whether people acknowledge it or not, the absence of Moreau and Dunbar hurt. However, you're not getting pressure.
Yeah.
It's still going to be the same outcome. And then lastly, my last thought is 8 of 11 on third down with the Cowboys. One of those was a penalty on Jimmy Moreland, which was a terrible holding penalty down in the red zone.
Yeah.
He could have held him to a field goal,
mm-hmm.
which was preceded by a roughing the passer call on Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
So penalties killed you at the end of the first mm-hmm. half. I believe it gave the Cowboys momentum going to the locker room. And then if you can't get anybody off the field, it hurts your offense. Your offense only had eight possessions the whole entire game.
Yeah.
But if you compare this to last year, which I've read a lot this week, if you're scoring 20 points a game, that should be enough to win considering the defense you thought you had.
Is it? That's the point.
The one thing I don't like about the fans right now, though, because I've been listening, everybody's angry, rightfully so, and there's been discussions about Winuski, which we'll get to, whether he should even came back this season. But I'm even hearing people turn on the defensive players saying we don't even have the personnel. You do have the personnel.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
And De'Ron Payne, he played well. He was the lone bright spot, if you ask me.
Yeah, he played well.
Josh Norman has been getting beat up. He had some slip ups in this game.
Yeah,
but at the same time, again, I think it's the game plan and the lack of adjustments that ultimately hurt you defensively. Because still, look at the final score. Whether you count the last touchdown or not, it was an opportunity to win the game. You had chances.
You had chances to take advantage in that first half. That first half. In the second quarter, you had opportunities. You mentioned penalties. Penalties played a big part. And again, you're letting a quarterback in Dak Prescott beat you in the pocket when he has time all day. I don't care who you are, man. I keep saying this. You give a quarterback time in the pocket, they're going to beat you. And I said this in preseason, and people like kind of scoffed at me. I watched that first preseason game, and I saw enough. I saw enough of the game plan because when you're coaching defense and ask any great and watch any great defense over the years, you teach it from the beginning. It's not like you're worried about game planning. You teach a mentality. You teach a style. You watch the Baltimore Ravens in preseason and training camp. You know they're aggressive. Like, you know. It's not like they're worried about, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not worried about, oh, man, we're going to show too much. I don't want to show too much for week one. Nah, it's about coaching aggression. You don't have to show anything in terms of schematically how you're going to do some zone blitzes and this, that, and the other. But you're coaching a particular style of football. I'm going to beat you up mentality. If you don't coach that style, you're not going to get that in week one and expect it to say, okay, I'm going to coach it up in the regular season. That's what we're going to get. It doesn't work that way.
Quick question. We're talking about the defense. What did you think about Jay Gruden's press conference comments about the defensive staff after the game? You were present, right?
I was there.
Okay. What did you think?
I thought it was BS. You know what? You're not on. Like, bro, you late. That's why you ain't on. Now, do you want to be on there? You on?
There he is.
It's all good.
There you go.
Keep talking, man.
There you go. Because no one was hearing you. That's what I'm saying.
As long as my voice goes out to the universe, someone hears me and someone thinks what I gotta say.
No, that is Will T. He's now on. He's on from the on, and the universe is now listening and watching. Right, Will T?
Yes, sir.
So you thought it was BS? Why?
I just, again, it's the same routine, the same coaches, the same thing we saw last season, season before that. Like, if you want change, you got to change something. Like, if you want, you can't keep the same thing going and think you're going to get a different result. That's the definition of insanity.
You've seen teams bring in special advisors at times.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Who can help these coaches with in-game adjustments? That's what I'm asking. You have to find somebody who might be able to be another voice that's non-objective that comes in and says, guys, this is what you're lacking. Here's what I would do. You pay that person, whoever it is. I don't know. I believe the Redskins did that in the past. They hired somebody.
Yeah, from the bingo hall. You're talking about Sherman.
Sherman. There we go. It's been done. Why not explore? Because what you're doing right now isn't working. Now, we're going to talk about Chicago, but you have a team coming in who isn't playing well offensively. Again, I'll get there. They're looking at this as an opportunity to get back on the right track because this defense right now isn't showing much at all as far as it being able to stop anyone or get pressure.
It's trash. The defense is trash. It is what it is. It's a terrible defense. And they brought in guys. They brought in guys that potentially could take his job if they decide to fire Winuski and Horton and Rob Ryan. So those are potential. Those are guys that they can take over for his job. And
Rob
those guys
would be good.
And those guys, both of those guys are what we were talking about earlier. They're blitz demons.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So there is that out there.
Why wait? I mean, you saw last season, and then you saw the first two games.
You ain't hear me. I'm not arguing with you.
You gave up, a 17-point lead
to the Eagles?
To the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
This past Sunday wasn't much better.
Mm-hmm.
So why wait? Why the hesitation to pull the trigger per se and just say, hey, Greg Winuski, it's been good. We Deuces. Think that we have the players. No, I mean, if you honestly say that you think you have a very young and talented defense,
mm-hmm.
a defense that you thought coming into the season would be a strength, right?
Yeah.
Why continue to if you're Jay Gruden to take subliminal shots at Greg Minuski during this press conference, during your press conference, why not just go in a different direction?
It would be Bruce Allen's call, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it would be Bruce's call.
And that's not his MO of making mid-season changes at that level.
My thing is, they wanted to replace Minuski.
In the summertime, right?
In the summertime.
Exactly.
And this is my speculation. I think Jay wanted to keep Minuski. That's where I'm coming. That's how it seems to me. Because Dan was already trying to get Greg. Daniel Snyder was trying to get Greg Williams. He was trying to get
Todd
Bowles. So obviously, right. Front office was trying to make that move.
And you said that last.
Well, it was reported that they were just having casual. They were just having conversations.
Yeah, we know. They weren't getting information. They were trying to get those dudes.
So. One more point that we made last week, the Cowboys don't throw the ball deep. That was what is so frustrating about watching this game is you make Dak look like Peyton Manning when all in all, they can't go down the field. Again, make adjustments. But let's move on because I think we need to touch on the offense and also Jay Gruden. You heard the Adrian Peterson comments. Like, I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't know if you want to go there first. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to talk about the Adrian Peterson comments.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead.
I think it's twofold. So one, the fact that Morgan Moses would come out and kind of challenge his coach in public.
You already know.
Biggest signs of when Jay Gruden really started to lose his team. Yeah. That's one. Mm-hmm. Two, you understand that for me, from my perspective, Jay Gruden coming out and making the comments about, you know, Adrian Peterson, and this isn't verbatim, but Adrian Peterson. Yeah, we're going to run out of affirmation 55 times, or Adrian Peterson's a north-south runner. He isn't able to get to the edge, and that limits the offense. Why would you come out and say that about a Hall of Famer, a guy who's been nothing but a professional since he's been here, and even though this organization has totally lacked professionalism throughout the multiple layers of the organization, why not just come out and just say something? You know, say something. Just say, you know, Adrian's a good back, but you know, just at this point of his career, the younger talent that we have, and it just
want to play guards. Just say, I want to play guards.
Yeah, that's all it is. Why don't you just say, I want, you know, we spent the second round pick on Darius.
We
want to
see what we got with him. We want to
see what we got.
That's it. That's all you
got
to say.
Now, Adrian Peterson hasn't been here for a long time, but remember how Andy Reid treated McNabb? He said, we're going younger.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give you the ability to find a team that you want to play for. You can handle it better, is what I'm saying. But Swearinger Ben alluded to the fact that Jay Gruden lost that locker room, right? So it's no.
Well, Swearinger was saying
new.
Not like losing. Swearinger was saying like Swearinger was saying he, to lack of a better term, like he's just a soft coach. Like he's not. I mean by that is he's not on his players. They're not. He's not. He's too much. There's too much leniency. He's not like a Bill Belichick of really attention to details. Like he's not really on his cats. You know what I'm saying? He let people get away with a lot of stuff. That's how Swearinger was carrying it. Like, this is not a winning locker room.
And see, you mentioned Bill Belichick. I was thinking about him. I know he's the best coach in football.
Yes,
and it's hard to make comparisons. Mm-hmm. But no matter who he plugs into a system, it works. I don't care what coach is there. If Matt Patricia gone, so what? It still works.
Mm-hmm.
If he has problems, he fixes it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, what are the coaches not getting? But moving on to the offensive side, I actually feel as though the offensive line is playing relatively decent considering
No Trent.
And also, just new pieces, you know what I mean, that you're working with this season. We all thought Flowers wasn't good in preseason. Again,
he's been better these first two games.
And then even Keenum has been better than what people expected. So, if your offense is able to score, then your defense has to be the one to fill in the gaps. Last season, that felt like it was the opposite. Now, what's the problem? And again, it starts with your coaches. So, offensively, I'm not going to say you're perfect, but you don't have as much to worry about as you do defensively. And your receiving core is growing, and that's the important thing. Even with the garbage time drives, I think it's putting in reps.
I think McLaurin is a guy that's standing out. Had about 62 yards and a touchdown. It seems like you found a guy that could potentially be your number one wide receiver. Offensive line, I mean, other than the holding, I mean, yeah, they protected the quarterback. But again, at the end of the day, offense isn't a problem. I don't think offense has been a problem. They scored 20 points. I mean, when you've been coming out coming out from the beginning of training camp, to multiple pressers and state that we're going to be carried by our defense, and your defense has been giving up 30 points in two straight games to the NFC East to NFC East opponents. That's a problem, man. That's a problem. And because you came out and said you have the talent. No one, and everybody went off of that. And some of the media was like agreeing with it. But at the end of the day, you said it as a coach. We have the talent to be a dominant defense. And you're giving them 30 points.
Exactly.
So when you say you have the talent to be a dominant defense, you didn't say good, a dominant defense, and you're giving up 30 points in back-to-back games. The issue isn't the players. The issue is the coaches.
Yeah, Josh Norman said this could be an historical defense.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah.
I want to ask you this real quick, and I know we gotta move on, but the way Jay Gruden goes at guys he doesn't like. Robert Griffin is one. Adrian Peterson. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't like him, but he doesn't want them on the team. Mm-hmm. Now, see how he goes with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
How come he hasn't said anything about Josh Norman, who hasn't played well the last three seasons now, if you include this one?
I mean, because Josh Norman still is the best cornerback on the team. And that's saying a lot, but he's still the best cornerback on the team. I don't think Josh is horrible.
I didn't say he was.
I think Josh is still a good cornerback.
Adrian Peterson was your offense last year, and you going at him.
I agree with you.
So why haven't you said anything about Josh Norman, who runs his mouth a lot,
but
he does not always produce?
I
like Josh
Norman
too.
For that reason. He runs his mouth a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a situation where if Jay Gruden comes out in the public and criticizes Josh Norman, Josh Norman is going to take that silent.
And it's different too. And it's also different as much as AP is well respected. AP is an all time Hall of Famer. But end of the day, AP, if he talks, who's to say he's going to get another opportunity to be a starting running back? Josh Norman can talk and get out of here and still be a starting cornerback. And as good as AP has been, and as great as just because of his age, I'm not even talking about his skill, his age. No one's gonna say, you know what? Let's invest in a 34-year-old running back to be our starting running back. And that's the only difference. The Skins have the Bears up next on Monday night. Will the defense finally step up? We'll discuss that after break. You listen to All Skins, everything with Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listen to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Hopewell, Virginia, and your hosts are Will T, Ray, and myself, Wally. On Monday night, the Skins have the 1-1 Chicago Bears come to town. Do you have faith that the Skins defense will stop the Bears offense?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Have you seen the Bears offense?
Have you seen the Redskins defense?
No, have you seen? This is a team that does not push the ball down the field. One of the Achilles heels, as you saw during the game against Dallas, was when a team is able to go deep and push the ball down the field. Mitch Trubisky doesn't throw the ball further than 15 yards down the field.
Dallas don't really go deep either, though.
That's what I'm saying. They don't either, man.
They didn't, but they were able to hit on a couple of deep plays.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. We all say this, right? And Wally, you know, we all crack jokes about each other. We say if we had that much time to throw the football, we would look good out there, too.
Exactly.
So if Trubisky has time to throw,
he's going
to
find somebody.
I don't care
who
it is. You know, I mean, I feel like this is a good game to bounce back if you're the Washington defense, because you're right. I hate the game plan of the Bears. I text y'all week one, what are they doing? This guy. He went to the Pro Bowl last year, but it doesn't seem like the Bears want to open up their offense. This might be a perfect storm for Washington. But if you can't blitz them, somebody's going to be open.
I will say this. Your next two opponents are the Bears
and the Giants. Daniel Jones and the Giants.
I think in 2 weeks,
Saquon will eat them alive.
I understand that, but I think in two and a half weeks from today, after these next two, they'll be 2-2.
Well, are you going to pick the Redskins in your picks?
Yes.
Because I couldn't do it. I think they could beat the Bears, but they scarred me on this one.
I'm not picking. No.
They scarred me
This isn't the Bears of last year where that defense – created a lot of turnovers and gave them a lot of short fields.
They haven't given up any points yet.
But this isn't Vic Fangio's defense that's getting after the quarterback and creating pressure and creating turnovers.
That defense
is totally different.
What have you been watching? Did you watch the Green Bay game?
They shut Green Bay down.
Okay, let me ask you this. Was it more the Bears shut Green Bay down? Or was it that Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur were not on the same page and Aaron Rodgers hadn't fully bought into the offense? Because if I looked at that game, it didn't look like Aaron Rodgers had fully invested at that point into the offense.
That's a little bit of both.
And they weren't doing a lot of the concepts that Aaron Rodgers was completely.
I think it was a little of both. I do think that it took Aaron Rodgers some time to get used to it. But at the same time, man, he was scared in that pocket. Like that, they were collapsing quick. It wasn't like he had time to do anything.
It wasn't just Khalil Mack. I know what you're saying.
I think, you know, obviously when you're getting on with a new game plan, a new playbook, it's going to take some time to get used to it. But at the same time, like in terms of saying hiking the ball and pressure being right there, the Bears were all over Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't even like Aaron Rodgers could react fast enough. So. Yeah, that Bears defense is mean. Like, I do agree with this, what you said that in a different way. You was talking about how this is a good matchup for the Skins. Like, this could make them feel good about themselves. I think it's the same thing for Mitchell Trubisky. I think this is a great matchup for Mitchell Trubisky.
I think that,
you know, he's going to look at this Skins defense and be like, all right, y'all don't give me, like, this amount of time. I can actually take my – I'm slowing reads anyway. I can take my time and find an open wide receiver because I'm going to have time in the pocket.
Here's the thing. We can talk ad nauseum about the defense. On offense, though, can you establish the run against this Bears defense if you want to neutralize their blitz?
I think they can score maybe a couple times. Now, I'm not going to say like – because, again, I like this Bears defense. I think it's fast. It's a very fast – physical defense, but I do think there's opportunities to score, especially if this is my thing. If Mitchell Trubisky struggles, there's a great opportunity for this team to score. But again, I mean, you can't bank on the Skins defense to stop Mitchell Trubisky, and I think that you can get a couple hits with McLaurin. You can get a couple hits, some nice plays. Hopefully, Jordan Reed gets back. If not, you know. You can still try working Vernon Davis, but you still have opportunity within this team. And again, Jay Gruden has always, as much as I've been bashing, you know, the Skins coaching staff, Jay Gruden can coach offense to a certain extent in terms of putting up stats and moving the football.
I don't think there's anyone that watches football that can say Jay Gruden doesn't know how to dissect.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
And isn't a competent play caller.
Yeah, he's a good play caller.
Play caller and offense, yeah. And the designer of offense,
I think,
right?
I truly believe that
is going to be the thing that puts them over the top against the Bears this weekend.
I think it's an easy prediction to say they can beat the Bears, you know, if they don't, hey, we knew what they were when they came. Like Dennis Green said, we all who they thought they were. But I do see an opportunity to establish some momentum because you don't want to go against New England and like 0-4 because then it's just going to get ugly.
It's 0-5. You just say 0-5. You don't say 0-4. You say 0-5. You just skip the whole New England. You say 0-5. You just check that off.
When I think about New England, I think about that 52-7 game. Joe Gibbs on the sideline.
I need to go with that, John.
And Randy Moss, your fantasy team, you were enjoying it, but you were mad.
I was mad at the same time.
You were mad at the same time. But offensively,
they got another 84. Okay. I mean, 17, though.
You guys didn't answer my question. Offensively, can you establish the run against this?
No. I said no.
Will, did you answer? Adrian Peterson.
I think you can throw it on rather than running.
I think you could throw it. This is the thing that frustrates me about that comment about Adrian Peterson not being able to run. No, not being able to run to, you know, east and west. Why not use some zone block, stretch outside zone plays to get him outside.
How many times have you watched Adrian Peterson play football? You've watched Adrian Peterson play football. That comment's dumb. It's a lie. That's why I don't entertain that comment because you have Geis, right? Geis was your running back. Geis and AP have similar running styles. They're very. I mean, to be honest with you, and to be real, to keep it 100, AP has better vision than Geis.
Hey. You guys give Jay Gruden more credit than he deserves in terms of his offensive genius because
no, he's small offensive.
No, I'm not saying he's not, but in the red zone, his teams never do well.
No, again,
and Sean McVay when he was there, they didn't do well. It didn't make a difference. So I still feel like all signs point to him as why, you know, your offense can't just outscore somebody if your defense isn't good.
No, I'm talking about moving the football in terms of setting up, moving the football. Absolutely. Yeah, he can do that.
He got Kirk Cousins paid.
Yeah, there's a lot of offense. He made Colt McCoy relevant to people thinking that he could be a starter.
His resume speaks. I'm not saying that, but I still feel like finishing drives is an issue for this team.
Yeah, that's always been an issue.
And they're going to have to do that in order to win games. But with these next two opponents, you have an advantage over the Giants because you have their safety from last season who can tell you everything about the offense for the most part.
We're going to the Giants already? Dang.
No, I'm just saying. once you get there, I mean, you have to look ahead.
Man, pay attention to the Eagles, man. I mean, the Eagles to the Bears. Pay attention to the Bears. That's all you need to do because they're not good enough to think ahead. They're just not good enough to think ahead.
Take it one week at a time.
Exactly. There you go. Will T's picking the Bears.
RJ and Minuski on the hot seat. Lex Diamonds for Heritage Sports Radio Network will join us after the break. You listen to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Scene. For Agent Shittig, deuces.
It's a beautiful day to get some money, and every day is another opportunity to touch the paper. So I pray you want to see a young man shine. If not, put your head in a hole, I'm going to put a hole in your head, you heard me? What? Tell me right now what you want to do. 20 billboards in the city, who the f*** is you? I look a little familiar, don't I? Look at you, look at it.
Listen to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Your host are Ray G's and myself, Wally. Will T left out. He's out, so just us two. But right now, we have the homie, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network on the line. What's up? What's good, Lex?
Man, you know what's good.
What it is,
you
man.
You know exactly what's good.
I know you was in the building on Sunday, 1 o'clock. You saw that whole thing transpire.
I was watching Power on my phone, though, because after the first quarter, the game just got so boring, I just started watching Power on my phone in the middle of the game.
Hey Lex, where's your stress level at right now?
It's not really at a high yet, but I will say if I am a coach on the defensive side, I would definitely be paying close attention to details this week.
Mm-hmm.
As we approach, you know, the Monday night game against the Bears, you have an extra day to kind of prepare. So I would really be focusing on that because I think if they fall 0-3, somebody's going to be a scapegoat for this because I really don't see these guys keeping jobs. In my opinion, if you know they're continuing to show, you know, lack of effort and winning. I think winning is important at this point, and I think the Bears is going to be a tough situation, but not a situation where they can't win.
So do you think, so for you, I'm hearing a lot of coach talk. You're talking about like the coaches need to step up, but so you believe that it's the coaches, not the players on the defense side of the ball?
I think, I want to say it's a combination. I do believe, you know, if we want to go pick out individuals, you know, and it's kind of obvious because he's like low hanging fruit, but Josh Norman has kind of shown us the last 2 years that he's been kind of, you know, his level is not as high as it was when we first, you know, when he first joined the Skin.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, as a coach, somebody evaluated this guy, you know, during mini camp, summer camp, you know, preseason, and they said he was, you know, one of the 53 guys. So whoever made that decision, you know, somebody's got to pay for that decision because it is clearly obvious that Josh has lost five steps, you know, had to be so harsh on him, but he's definitely not at the caliber he was a few years ago. And maybe, you know, maybe a nickel corner position might be in his future, or even, you know, try him out at safety at this point.
Try him out at safety. Well, here's the thing. I hear the talk about Josh Norman has been consistent across the board with the fan base and with analysts. But in my opinion, Greg Minuski probably should have never made it to this season. This summer, he should have been let go. But I think it was Wally that pointed out earlier, what direction could you have gone in? You didn't get Todd Bowles. You didn't get Greg Williams. You know, what other alternative was there? But I just don't understand the mindset around game planning. You're going against one of the top offensive lines in football. Excuse me, I said this earlier. And there was no type of strategic planning for how we're going to get to the quarterback. Your front four wasn't going to get it done, especially with the injury to Jonathan Allen. So I'm just miffed at the coaching staff, especially on defense. And it starts at the top with Jay Gruden, to be honest. It seems as though he knows his days are number two, and he's starting to kind of crack under pressure. What do you think?
Well, I know there's some pressure for Jay to do well because, you know, he wants to keep his job. There's no question about that. But I think Jay is in a different position than a lot of the other guys because, I mean, his brother coaches the Raiders. So if you don't think
he's going to get a job.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So he, from a job perspective, I think he's going to find a job. That's, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But as far as him getting another opportunity as a head coach for an NFL team, I think this might be his only shot. And it's very important for him to kind of turn this ship around and get this defense, you know, at the level that we expected. The offense actually hasn't looked bad.
Yeah, we said that. Yeah, we agree. Yeah, we said that earlier. We agree.
Looked terrible.
And isn't it funny, though? Isn't that funny, Lex, that even Jay, in the beginning of this, while in camp, in camp and even in preseason, he said that this defense would be the unit that carries this team, and it's been like one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
Oh, it's the third worst.
It's the third?
The Dolphins is somebody else who are worse in terms of total yards.
Total yards, yeah. So I'm saying, like, isn't it sad, though? Like, if you think about it, like, how this defense was portrayed in the offseason?
Well, I'm going to say this. I think we have to weather this storm because they did play Philadelphia, who's 2 years removed from the Super Bowl. And Philly is very good. They have a lot of talent. They were playing in Philly. They were up, you know, and they shocked the world during the first half. But the second half adjustments just were not made. And they lost the game, you know, and that could have been a situation where if they had Adrian Peterson in the mix to kind of help them a bit, you know, on the offensive side, it may have helped. But not having Trent Williams is huge for this team. And you have to take that in consideration. No Trent, no Jordan Reed. I mean, those are two very important people for Washington to have success, and they're not a part of this equation. So, and then the Cowboys, many people have picked Dallas to go to the Super Bowl. So for Washington to kind of go toe-to-toe with Philly and Dallas the first two games, I'm going to give them a pass. But the next 3 weeks, it's really put up a shut-up time, in my opinion, the next 3 weeks.
Oh, well, I believe one of those is included there is New England. So New England's coming up on one of those weeks, I'm almost certain, right?
That third week's New England.
You need to be 2-2 going against New England, put it that way. But I'm thinking that, again, Lex, right now I'm surprised by you.
Me too.
Because you're very subdued. You're very chill. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not. Yeah, we lost to the 2 years Super Bowl champions.
You never this way.
You know, I'm just wondering if maybe there's some underlying confidence there, or did you relapse on alcohol?
Well, I don't do alcohol.
I know. That's why I said relapse. I said relapse.
And believe me, I got a call from Santa Claus, and he wanted to talk about
it. Oh, here we go.
He definitely had an issue with one of his L's.
There we go.
Got involved in a situation.
Okay.
And did not take responsibility for his actions and started to blame the other L.
Okay.
You know, and all I'm saying is if the Redskins just so happen to not win on Monday against the Bears, just watch the press conference and see who gets blamed the most. Because at that point, you know, people are trying to protect their interests. and keep their jobs as long as they possibly can. But it could get ugly if, you know, we get to week five and it's 0-5, or, you know, we get to the Dolphins and instead of us blowing out the Dolphins, you know, it's a fourth quarter game and the Dolphins are going toe-to-toe with us. Then we know we have problems. Even the Giants. Mm. We play the Giants. They got a rookie quarterback. I mean, they don't really have a lot of talent in New York either.
Yeah, that's true.
So if we're not, like, in the mix, like, clearly dominating these teams, then, yeah, we are in trouble.
Yeah, I think we're in trouble right now. But, hey, Lex, before I let you go, let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media and also some of the interesting things you got going on for yourself, my man.
Well, you guys can, as usual, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Lex Diamonds without the A. Always something going on. Trez Falsetto has a performance in Atlanta next Wednesday, 25th at the Music Room, R&B showcase. Just really, honestly, he's on the verge of signing a major deal, some
awesome
distribution deal.
Awesome.
We're just kind of waiting to finalize that. But I don't like to count money that I don't have in my hand, so I'm not really gonna get too excited about that yet until the ink is actually dry.
I feel that. Hey, man, Lex, man, we appreciate you, my man. Next week it goes down.
Yeah, Monday night, man. I just hope and pray it's not like the game on Sunday it's going to be a long Monday. I mean, we're getting home at midnight, walking to the gray lot in the dark.
In the dark. I mean? Yeah, I know, man.
I mean, all those guys from Landover, you know, like licking their chops, fresh meat, people walking around after midnight. I just, you know, if I'm going to be a victim, I want to be a happy victim. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree, my man. I totally agree. I'm with you. Wait, Lex, man,
and
thanks.
And go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Falcons? You guys didn't even ask me about the Atlanta Falcons.
You want to know about the Falcons?
What happened with them?
They won. The Falcons won. What are you talking about? They beat the...
Did they lose the first week of the season?
They lost the first week of the season? That's the weakest first week of the season. That's just, it's only one.
You talking about to the Vikings?
They lost the first week of the season. I mean, like, come on, man. Terrible.
Hey, they beat the Eagles, though. And Julio looked pretty good in that game. Yeah, at least I have some type of hope in Julio. What do you have?
Hey,
I like McLaurin, though. I do.
I like McLaurin. He's not
Julio, though. Sorry.
He's not Julio. But you remember the Falcons jumped us to get the Julio. If you remember that draft, they jumped everybody.
Yeah, of course. Nothing wrong with that. Dan Snyder jumped. He jumped a lot of people. Remember he had like one of the best defenses, Jeremiah Trotter. Armstead.
All right, hey, Lex, let's go, man. I don't want to hear
this
him talking.
This is all skins, everything. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about that. Hey, Lex, man, thanks, man. Appreciate you, my man. I don't want to hear Ray talk about this anymore.
All right, guys.
All right.
Y'all have a great evening.
All right, take care, my man. Yeah, that is the homie, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network. Make sure you check him out. But appreciate Lex. Appreciate you all for listening. But anyway, also, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Thanks for listening again. You've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Hopewell, Virginia for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie.